Happening in the day ahead, we're going to be hearing from state Republicans what their goals are for the 2026 legislative session. And really no surprise here, affordability is taking the cake. Joining us now is Senate Minority Leader Steve Harding. Senator Harding, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Well, always good to be on with you. I'm well this morning. Hope you are too, and your listeners are. And thank you for having me.
So I don't want to take, I don't want to steal your thunder, obviously, because you're doing a huge press conference. You're all talking about this later, but obviously, I need to know now. So I would love to just even highlight some of the things that you guys are focused on. You know, when we say affordability, what would you say are some of the key topics, or I guess key areas you guys are focused on?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the key areas that I think that most of your listeners and most of our neighbors across our state are focused on, and because it's impacting them the most in their daily lives. And it's also, fortunately, what we can control in Hartford and in the state legislature. And, you know, two of those things that are primary at mind for, I think, many individuals and constituents that I speak with and many of the listeners that call into your show, Melissa, and you hear, is taxes and electric bills in the state. And it's no surprise because, you know, we have the third highest taxes in the country. Here in Connecticut, we have the third highest electric rates in the country. And by most metrics, we actually have the highest or some of the highest property taxes in the country. And so it's no surprise when you hear men and women, working class, middle class people come up to their senators, come up to their representatives, call into shows that cover these topics like yours and talk about how crippling it is to the average family here in this state. And so we as the Senate Republican Caucus are committed to providing that affordable relief that these individuals desperately need. You know, we've often spoken about the fact that, you know, we're in decent financial shape as a state, or we're certainly better off than we were, let's say, a decade ago. And we have $4 billion sitting there in a rainy day fund, which really is $4 billion of overtaxation over a course of 6 or 7 years. And so our state might be doing well, and government is doing well by government within the confines of Hartford. But what's going on in Main Street across the 169 towns across our state? And what we're hearing from them is, you know, they're not seeing the relief. They're not seeing the good financial shape that our state may say we're in. And that's where we need to turn and focus our relief to.
I would love to know, because there's a lot to dive into here, Senator Harding, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'd like to give you the opportunity. What were your thoughts on the governor's state of the state when he said he would propose a $200 rebate for individuals, $400 for couples? I could tell you just from when I had him on the show a day or two after the state of the state, I said, Governor, I don't want to sound ungrateful, but that ain't cutting it for me. And that's not coming from a Republican or a Democrat. That's coming from a Connecticut taxpayer. But $200, or I guess it'd be $400, excuse me, because I'm married. Yeah, that's not cutting it for me. I said that's not even going to cover 1 month of the public benefits charge on my bills.
Yeah, I mean, and so I would say it's if it weren't so difficult for families, including myself, to balance these budgets, I would call it laughable, because it is laughable. Basically, what the governor is saying, in all due respect, is here's $200, shut up and go away. And we don't want to hear any more about this state's affordable enough. Here's $200, go away. In an election year, mind you, Melissa, what's important about that, too, is one, it's no coincidence and it's not lost on me. It's an election year. And number two, it's a 1 year plan. So what he's proposing literally is a 1 year, one time, $200 payment. It doesn't mean anything about going into future years. There's no structural changes. So it's not like you're even receive that $200 payment next year. You'd only receive it this year and it would go away forever. And I don't take that as a solution. Again, we have the third highest electric rates in the country, the third highest taxes, the third high, or number one in some metrics by property taxes. And the governor's answer to that is here's $200, take it or leave it. I mean, come on.
And right. So, I mean, it literally is putting a Band-Aid on something we need surgically removed. Just saying.
Exactly right. It's like going in for, you know, something that needs surgery to fix and say, well, here's some Advil and hopefully, you know, it loosens the pain. And I don't think this is even Advil. $200 in today's day and age when you have families that, you know,
it's a placebo. Yeah. It's
exactly.
A placebo.
Exactly.
I mean, and the reason I bring it up, Senator Harding, is I think it's so frustrating because I'll have conversations with people and again, and I'm not saying that one side has it more together than the other side does, but I think what's so frustrating, and this is where I've literally gotten into arguments with other reporters about this, because I've kind of knocked a little bit the amount of coverage that is done, or I've kind of, to me, I think sometimes we focus on things that, I'm not saying they don't matter, but I think when you talk about everyday lives in Connecticut, we focus on things so much and we manipulate, I think, so much what should matter to Connecticut residents. And affordability to me should literally be the topic of conversation. Like the idea that over 1,000 bills are going to be presented this session is such lunacy. And I understand it's an election year. I get it. I get how it all works. But to me, if we really want to effectively make change, sometimes I think, A, we're focusing on garbage that, to me, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but should not be top of mind. And these things should not be partisan. I mean, if you're sitting at home, regardless of whatever, you know, if you've got a D or an R or a U next to your name, to me, if you're sitting there going, yeah, no, $200 is going to save my life, then you are financially doing great. And I applaud you for that. I can't say the same for myself and for many other people I talk to. And I don't understand why we're always at this crossroads where, again, this is logical to me. To me, this should not be a Republican thing. This should be logical. Things like the public benefits or things like, you know, taxes. I mean, to me, I don't know why that has become such a partisan issue and why we continue to focus on things that don't even have a direct issue in Connecticut right now.
Yeah. And Melissa, you hit the nail on the head. And really what it comes down to is, I think, the two parties just have a different vision. This is not even partisan what I'm saying, in that I think the Democratic Party sees, you know, government being able to assist and utilizing government money to assist out in the public and more government programming, et cetera. And that's their vision. And our vision is much different. My thought process is, I'd much rather see the money in your hands as a resident of the state, and you personally, you and your family personally deciding what to do with that money and returning it back to you, as opposed to government creating some other bureaucratic organization and to decide in their minds what they think your family needs. And that's what it comes down to. So what we're talking about here is, there's this talk in the building about, you know, modifying the volatility cap, and the Democrats in Hartford are committed to modifying the volatility cap. And what they're saying is, you know, they're going to modify it to spend more. And the governor has done it, too. The governor has overspent the volatility cap and gotten around the spending cap to the tune of about $3 billion over the course of 2 years. And what I say to people back at home is, OK, so the past 2 years, the governor has basically outspent the guardrails by about $3 billion. And what do you personally at home have to show for that? And I think a lot of folks will say nothing. If anything, things have gotten more unaffordable. And what I'm saying is, if we're going to modify these guardrails, which the Democrats in Hartford are committed to doing for, you know, various reasons, it should be returned back to the taxpayer. And so that's what the Senate Republican plan is. It's going to be over $1 billion in income tax relief. It's going to completely eliminate your car tax financially. So you'll still pay your car tax to your town, and the town will still receive that revenue. But this plan would allow our state government to offset that financial burden you're placing by a full credit on your income tax. So we're talking, for most, you know, middle class, working class families in the state, literally thousands of dollars, $3,000 up to, you know, potentially even $4,000 for some families, particularly with multiple cars at home. Thousands of dollars in tax relief, and that means something. Thousands of dollars
you're
that
not
you can
talking,
put back in your pocket.
You're not talking a one-time thing. You're talking about permanently.
Correct.
So that's year.
Correct.
Right.
This is per year. This is thousands of dollars per year. I mean, I believe, I'm so committed to this plan and I'm so excited about it, that I believe this can transform the state. I think there are people, middle-class families that may live on the borders, whether it be Rhode Island or Massachusetts or New York, that could look at this and say, wow, I can go to Connecticut and get that much more back in my pocket. I think it will drive people to this state. I think it will retain individuals in the state and families in this state. I mean, this is transformative what we can provide. We have the money to do this. And for years, over the past decade, I would say, our government has been working well for government, financially very well for government. Now it's about time that we bring that back home to Main Street and people back home start seeing the benefits of how our government is doing.
So we're talking to Senate Minority Leader Steve Harding, and in the day ahead, there's going to be a press conference where state Republicans are putting forward their proposals for the 2026 legislative session. And the big takeaway here is that they want to address the affordability crisis in Connecticut through things like tax breaks as well as electricity costs. And Senator Harding, I want to ask you first, what do you think is the difference between your proposals this year compared to last year? Or what would be a new attack plan to get more bipartisan support on some of the things you're putting forward?
Yeah. Well, part of that involves this modification to the volatility cap. So in previous years, that was not involved. And Democrats, again, are committed to doing that, to modifying the volatility cap, because they say it's just not working for the state. That's too much money is going to reserves. And so what we're saying is, let's have a conversation about that now. I'm willing to have that conversation, but I'm willing to do that if you're willing to return the money back to the taxpayer, back to the people back home, as opposed to continuing to funneling more bureaucracy, as opposed to just to use it to continue to fuel more state spending. And I think that's the caveat, is that, you know, look, I'm going to go to the table on a bipartisan fashion to say, let's have a real discussion about modifying the volatility cap correctly. What I'm saying is my solution is returning it back to the taxpayer. So we have an agreement potentially on the volatility cap. Let's have a real discussion about how we return the money back to the taxpayer.
Really quick, Senator Harding, I meant to ask you this, but we had to go to break. What is the volatility cap, if people don't know what that means?
Yeah, so basically, you know, we have certain volatile revenue. And that volatile revenue over a certain amount goes directly into paying off the pensions or directly into the budget reserve fund. And so for years, we're making record debt payments. We're putting money towards the general reserve fund, all good things. And we're seeing us do it at record numbers. And what you hear a lot of Democrats and even some Republicans say is we might have thrown somewhat of an arbitrary number or percentage in terms of what gets put away, to the point where we're overtaxing people, in my opinion, and growing our budget reserve fund beyond what we could even legally hold. And so really what it's come down to is where do we modify it so that we could start returning that money back to the taxpayer? Because we're still budgeting for volatile revenue. But it seems like, you know, what some people are arguing is that we're budgeting too much in terms of that volatile revenue.
I'm curious, Senator Harding, if you can get more Democratic support for these proposals. And the reason I say that is kind of back to, I don't think I really landed the plane earlier, so I apologize. Sometimes I do that where I'll just like throw 15 things out and you're like, okay, I'm going to take one thing you just said and respond to it. But my point
yeah,
of-
You're having pretty good so far, Melissa.
Oh, okay.
You're doing all right.
You're very kind to say that. But my reason for my rant earlier in this discussion is because I do believe- Like when you hear that, OK, the Republican Party is going to put forward their proposals for 2026, just from where I'm sitting, I think there are a lot of Connecticut, I'd say, residents and I don't know about the lawmakers, but Connecticut residents who will go, oh, great, the Republicans. And I think that there is such a dark cloud over the Republican Party. I had Ben Proto on my show last week after Senator Wong lost in the first electman's race in Fairfield. And I said to Ben point blank, no disrespect, Chairman, but whatever's happening to the Republican Party in Connecticut, it's not working. However, we want to show the Connecticut Republican is maybe different than what people's perception is of what's going on in Washington, D.C. And I do think there are things that happen on a bipartisan basis. I do think there's more collaboration than Connecticut gets credit. And I also think the Connecticut Republican is actually way more relatable than people want to give credit to. My point being is maybe the way that these proposals, again, to me are logical. I don't think these should be partisan. I think if you're sitting at home saying, yeah, I'd love my electric bills to go down, or yeah, I'd love to have my taxes for my property to go down or my car taxes to go away. This has been proposed year after year. But I do fear that because it has an R next to it, people are like, nope, I'm not even going to hear it out. I don't even want to know what you guys have to say. And I think that's such a loss for Connecticut residents. I really do. So that's why I ask if this year, Do you get bipartisan support? Do you get Democrats who are like, hey, you know, it doesn't matter that they have an R and I have a D. We all want affordability. We all want to address this crisis properly. So maybe that is more effective. I don't know.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, it's the numbers are the numbers in terms of how the composition of the legislature is. And so obviously, in order to make any Republican plan, quote unquote, pass, you need bipartisan support to make that possible.
Sure.
Just by purely the numbers. You know, with that said, I when we roll this out today, I think there are plenty of reasonable Democrats that if asked point blank, what do you think about this? They're going to have an open mind. I know a number of them. I think if I were to present this to them directly, I think they would have a hard time disagreeing with this plan. It's pretty basic common sense. It's returning thousands and thousands of dollars of tax relief back to their constituents, which I know they would support. And so I do believe we can get Democratic buy-in. I mean, look, we're having a press conference today. The invite went out to everybody, including Democrats. We want bipartisan support. And I think it's important to note that, you know, yeah, I mean, we are where we are in this political climate here in the state, and people kind of put on their team jerseys sometimes between Republican and Democrat based on what they watch down in D.C. or on cable news. But Melissa, to your point, it's very different here in Connecticut. I mean, we Republicans here in Connecticut are focused on what impacts people here in Connecticut. And let's be honest, the Democrats have run this state for 30 years. We're unaffordable in almost every single metric. And we're the party that's saying we are unaffordable, and here's our plan to do something about that. And so if you believe in affordability, if you believe in a reduction in your middle class families' taxes and electric bills, the Republicans have a plan, and all we can ask is work with us on this plan, take a look at the plan, and I think you will like what you see.
The other thing, too, Senator Harding, because I know we're running out of time, but I appreciate you giving us kind of the heads up as to what's happening today. When I had Governor Lamont on my show, because I know part of the proposal is your electricity costs, and we've had Senator Fazio on to talk about sort of his 6-point plan, and obviously that includes getting rid of the public benefits. One thing I got Governor Lamont to agree upon here on the show, live, actually, so I'd love to have you guys hold this accountability. I said to the governor, I don't know if you heard that interview, I could send it to you, but in the interview I said to him, you know, with the public benefits, governor, with all due respect, it doesn't make sense that we have this breakdown, we're seeing what we're spending the money on, and time after time, when people want it to be eliminated, or at least put into the general fund where we can actually have public hearings on it, we could have debate on whether or not it's worth investing in, I said that never, we don't even get that opportunity. I said there's like 50 or so items on there that we've never gotten clearance for what we want to pay. By the way, not the average Connecticut resident pays this. It's only UI and Eversource customers, which I know are the majority. But my long story short, I had said to the governor, I'm like, there are things on that you yourself, Governor Lamont, have paused. In 2024, when President Trump was elected into office, you said 2 months later, we are going to stop our efforts of having an e-vehicle mandate, an EV mandate in the state in that 10-year span, because as long as he's in office, we're not going to go forward with it. I said, then why are our public benefits the exact same? Why haven't they changed in 2 years? I said, because we're still paying for that infrastructure, even though you guys have paused the plan for 4 years. Why are we doing that? And he agreed on the air. You're right. We should actually go item by item. And maybe that is a way to at least bring the public benefits down. He's like, I don't know if I want to get rid of them altogether, but at least bring some of the items out that we were paying for. He said that on the air. And I feel like that should happen. If they're not going to get rid of it altogether, at least make the public benefits cut substantially, because it doesn't logically make sense that we're paying for stuff that even the state has said we're not going to go forward with right now.
Correct. I mean, so you have a authoritative body in PURA that has nothing to do with the legislature, effectively determining what your public benefit charge is and effectively determining what programs in terms of electricity that we have and we don't have for the state. And these are all government-run programs. It's social assistance. It's the moratorium on payments during COVID. I mean, these are structural decisions the legislature should be making. And more importantly, Melissa, it deserves a transparent debate. Are there aspects of the public benefit charge that we should keep, and not on your electric bill, but at least in the state confines of the state budget? Sure.
Sure.
There's
mm-hmm.
social assistance programs that I think every reasonable, compassionate person would agree needs to be in our budget. But the difference is it should be a line item in the budget where the whole world can see it, and the legislatures and your legislator, wherever you may be, can debate on it, vote on it, and ensure funding for it, as opposed to some hidden tax that we don't even know what it's paying for in your public benefit charge. And I think what's even more striking is the public benefit charge is so baked into your electric bill that when we had the PURA chief, and that was Marissa Gillette at the time, testify before the Executive Nominations Committee, I started asking her questions about the public benefit charge. And even she, who's probably was at the time the primary authority on the public benefit, on your electric bills, couldn't even tell me how what the number of components were within the public benefit charge. So when even she doesn't know what the number is of how many different programs are being funded by the public benefit charge, the system is broken. And it's the furthest thing from transparency. So if for nothing else, even outside of financial relief, which is critically important, it needs to be transparent what we're spending our money on, not baked into a tax on your electric bill.
Yeah, not for nothing. Eversource, one of their top executives earlier in 2025, said when the session comes up, he wants to testify that he would love public benefits to go away. As far as on your electric bills, I mean, Eversource is even like, hey, we're so sick of taking the heat for this. Put it in the general fund. Yeah. Like, I mean, even they're saying, hey, and that's the first time I've ever heard them say it. But he came on our show and also, you know, kind of doubled down and was like, Melissa, I want it off. He's like, I'm not saying you have to get rid of it altogether. I'm not saying that all the funding isn't important in some regard. He's like, but I don't want it on the electric bills. He's like, he's like, Eversource and UI, we are tired of taking the rap for this. This has nothing to do with us. We want it off. Just saying, I feel like this session could be, and we started to see a little bit of change last session, but this session could be the one where, you know, you break down item by item and, hey, do you justify paying for this every single electric bill? It's crazy. So I don't know. I'm hopeful. But Senator Harding, I appreciate you always giving us the time, especially ahead of a big day today. Thank you so much. And I'm sure we're going to be in touch again very soon during the session. Thank you.